2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 5 is where we're going to begin our reading. And Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, writes this: examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I'm going to stop reading right there, and we're going to look at a couple of words in this verse tonight. Examine yourselves. Now, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth here, and, you know, there's been some ups and downs in the church of Corinth, and he's even had to tell them, look, if I have to come back and talk to y'all again, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come, and I'm not going to be sparingly with my words. I'm going to say straight what I need to say to you. And he's encouraging these people to take a look at their own selves and prove whether they be in the faith or not. And I think it's very important that we examine ourselves, and I think it's very important that we take a look at our lives and we find out whether we are in the faith, not of the faith, but whether we are in the faith or not. And there is a difference between being of the faith and in the faith. You know, you get an obituary from Moody's, and a lot of times it says they were of the Baptist faith. Well, that don't tell me anything about whether they were saved or not. That just means they were Baptist. But at any rate, when I'm in the faith, that means that my faith and in my trust, I am believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I believe tonight that it is important that we do examine ourselves. But you know, even when Paul is telling the church of Corinth here to examine yourselves, and I know I'm not taking what he said out of context, but I'm going to put a little different spin on it tonight just because of something that I've been experiencing this week. Because you know, sometimes when we examine ourselves, we pull out our own checklist and we check off our own checklist about whether or not that we are in the faith. We check off our own checklist of whether or not we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for God. We check off our own checklist of, are we walking where we're supposed to walk? Are we giving God the glory with our life that we're supposed to be giving Him? Are we studying and are we praying? We have our own little checklist, and sometimes our checklist says, no, I'm not doing this number top 10 sin, and I'm not doing this number top 10 sin. And yeah, I talk to my neighbor, so I'm doing. And our checklist sometimes can be pretty vague. Because sometimes when we look at ourselves, it's hard for us to be honest with ourselves. That's the reason that it's so much easier for me to see your faults than it is for me to see my own. A lot of times when I look in the mirror at my life, I can check off my checklist and say, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to church every Sunday. I read my Bible throughout the week. I pray. I preach. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. And when I examine myself, sometimes I put the standard down just a little bit. Sometimes I lower from what God has said in His Word, I lower the standard so that I feel pretty good about what I'm doing. I get to the place to where I'm satisfied, and I examine myself according to my thoughts instead of God's thoughts. Sometimes my checklist might include stuff like, how am I using the talents that God gives me? Well, I'm doing pretty good with that. Am I giving glory to God with my life? Well, I'm doing okay with that, and I'll check it off. And those things, sometimes as we look at those things in our life, and we think that we're doing pretty good, and we think that we're following God's rules and God's guidelines, and everything is going fine, and yeah, I'm doing great. But then, what about if we turn around and look at it a different way? Because here in Corinthians, Paul says to examine yourselves. But let's look at Psalms chapter 26 and verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. A psalm that David had written, and instead of saying, examine yourself, he says, okay, God, instead of me examining me, he says, God, I want you to examine me. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins, or try my limits and my heart. Also in Psalms chapter 139, verse number 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See, I think it's a little different when we look at our lives and we examine ourselves, and when we open our lives up to God and say, God, you examine me. Now, I want to give you what's got me kind of on this thought path this week. See, a lot of times on Wednesday nights, y'all just get my life experience in a spiritual twist, as I would let you get. See, this week, Monday was going great. I went into work, man, the workload wasn't too tough, and we'd been kind of cutting up in the back and having a good morning. I'd had two or three cups of coffee already and just kind of easing into a beautiful Monday morning, and had lunch and was sitting there in my office, and I was just going away, working like crazy. And all of a sudden, I hear a strange voice in my showroom. And I heard the lady from the front, she went out and she says, "Hey, how can I help y'all?" And these two guys were standing in the showroom. And I heard them say, "Is Josh here?" And most of the time I'm going, "No, don't tell him I'm here. Don't tell him I'm here. Don't lie, but just don't tell him I'm here." But she said, "Yeah, may I tell him who's asking?" And he said, "Yeah, my name is so-and-so, and I'm with Hajoka's internal audit department." Oh, here we go. But see, the thing of it is I get nervous because, you know, they come in and they check all of my paperwork and be sure that I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing taxation-wise and everything that I'm supposed to be doing. They're going to check it over the next 2.5 days. Thank God it ended today. I feel free standing up here tonight. Glory, hallelujah, refuge. It's all over with, and it's all fine and dandy. I still got a job, hallelujah. When I was walking up the hallway to go out into the showroom just to greet them, I mean, I could feel my heart just, and I mean, I know I didn't have anything to hide, but there are so many rules and so many tax laws, and I'm just scared to death that I'm going to miss something. But the thing of it was it hasn't been too long ago, just a few months ago, that my regional manager had sent me a letter, and he actually sent it out to everybody in our region and said, "Just want you guys to know that over the past year, the X amount of our profit centers have had internal audit. Just be sure you're ready." Well, I got out all my checklists, and I went through them, and I checked them off. And according to my standards, everything was right. According to what I was looking at, everything was just fine. But see, I was going through real quick, and I was like, "Yeah, I got this tax number here, and I got that tax number there, and yeah, that's good, that's good." I wasn't taking a whole lot of time. I was looking at myself. I was examining myself. And when I examine myself, I'm pretty doggone good. Just ask me. I'm pretty doggone good. And I went through and I checked off everything. But you know what? When that final authority stepped into my showroom on Monday afternoon, and I know that they was fixing to go through everything, it's almost like opening up your bedroom and opening up your wallet to somebody and saying, "Here, go through everything I got. See what you think." That's what it feels like. And I don't like that, but, you know, it's just part of the job. But as they were going through everything, I know now that it's no longer me examining me. It's the final authority examining me. It's somebody that knows the rules a lot better than I do. It's somebody that knows the tax laws a lot better than I do. And they're going to go through all of my stuff, and they're going to try to be sure. But you know what? A lot of times with God, we want to examine ourselves. And we don't really examine ourselves sometimes the same way. And I'm not sitting here talking tonight about, man, we should just beat ourselves to death and we should just. But what I'm saying is sometimes I think we settle in our Christian lives. We settle for not doing as good as we could, with not giving God as much glory as we possibly can, with not witnessing to as many people as we possibly could, because we examine ourselves and we go, "You know what? I'm not drinking. I'm not cussing. I'm not running around on my wife. I go to church and I pay my tithes. I'm doing pretty doggone good." But that's not what God saved us for. God didn't save me so that I wouldn't drink and so that I wouldn't cuss and so that I wouldn't run around on my wife or that I would pay my tithes or that I would attend church. God saved me so that I would give him glory with my life and I would point others to the cross of Christ. But sometimes when I look at my life and I say, "I'm going to examine myself," and I look and say, "Well, I'm not doing these top 5 or top 10 things. I'm doing pretty doggone good. I'm a good Christian." But one day the Bible tells me that I'm going to stand in front of the final authority. But even before that, you know, the Bible tells us that when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, that we're going to be judged according to our works, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad, for the deeds that we've done in our body. And the works that we've done, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad. And it won't be a question about whether we're going to heaven or hell because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So I believe with all of my heart that I'm going to heaven and you can't stop that. And I can't stop that. But when I look at my life and I look at when I stand before God and when God looks at me, instead of me looking at me and saying, "Am I giving God glory with my life?" What about when God looks at me and says, "Did you give me glory with your life? Did you take the talents that I've given you? Did you take the blessings that I gave you and did you use them for my glory?" Or did we get so wrapped up in everything here, even a, let's say financial blessing? Maybe God's blessed you financially. Are you taking your financial blessings that God has given you and using those for God's glory? Maybe you're one of those people that, man, you could invite anybody to church and they would come with you. I'm one of those people that I can invite people, tell them that we're going to give them pizza and a hot dog and $5 and they still won't show up. I don't know what in the world. But there are people that can invite anybody and they just follow them right into church. But whatever your gift is that God has given you, whether it be just talking to people, praying for people, whatever your gift is, are you using it to give God the maximum amount of glory with your life that you possibly can? Am I giving God all the glory with my life that I can? Am I, you know, it's easy for me to look and say, am I really trying to grow closer to God? Yeah, I read my Bible and I pray. I even listen to gospel music. Yeah, I'm trying to grow closer to God. But what about when I stand before God and he says, did you and I have the best relationship that we could possibly have? But see, we shouldn't always go all the way to the end. We shouldn't always go to the judgment seat of Christ or all the way to death. Because we can open our hearts to God now and say, God, examine me. God, I know in your word you tell me to examine myself, but God, I want to open my life to you now. God, I want to open all of it, even those hidden rooms that nobody else goes into. Even those hidden thoughts that nobody goes into. Even those desires maybe that's in my life that shouldn't be there. God, I want to open all of those to you. And God, because look what he said. Search my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. Well, you know what? God already knows all of that. But what we do sometimes is we actually don't allow God, and when I say we don't allow God access, God knows my thoughts and my heart, but we don't give God access to our life with what he knows about us. We don't say, God, here I am. I'm opening up to you. You know everything about me already. I want to open up. You examine me, God. Because you know what would happen? Let's say today when one of those auditors walked to me and they said, Josh, we need to see you in that filing cabinet. If I would have said, no, you can't look in that filing cabinet. I would probably be here asking for a raise tonight is what I would be asking for instead of here preaching because I wouldn't have a job. Because they have full access to everything in my store. But there's so many parts of our lives that we act like that God don't have access to. And we might say, God, yeah, I want to hear from you. How can I be closer to you? But we don't just open it all up and say, God, here I am. Examine me. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. God, if there's anything that's inside of me that needs to be taken care of, God, show those to me. God, if there's anything else that I need to be doing, show those to me. We don't allow God full access to our life. We don't allow God to take our lives and get full glory, full credit. And trust me, this is more preaching to me than it is to y'all tonight. Because everything gets so busy and so, let's just say it like it is, the activities. Nothing wrong with the activities that we do that are in this world, but they have become so fun and so important to us that we have shut God out of part of our life. You know, even if you're, whatever your talent is, if you're able to help people, there's people who are just helpers. Are you using that to give God full glory? You may say, yeah, I am, but open that part of your life and say, God, am I using that to give you glory with my life? You might have a talent to sing. See, I'll use my wife just a little bit tonight. My wife has a talent to sing. I love to hear my wife sing. And she's my favorite singer in the whole wide world. But I can remember when she was about 14, 15 years old, she got to where she didn't want to sing much in church anymore. Just because she let other people sing. And I can remember her dad looking at her and saying, you better use what God give you, he'll take it from you. Anybody else ever heard that before? Yeah. And Autumn would get thinking about that and she would go sing. And now I tell my daughters that. And there's a little bit of truth to that. Are we using what God give us? Because even if God don't reach down and snatch your voice away from you, you're not getting to give him the glory that he deserves with whatever talent that he's given you. Because something that I can't stand personally is somebody that won't give effort. Somebody that won't try. I'm going to tell on one of my daughters tonight, and don't tell her that I told you because I'm sure she wouldn't want everybody to know. But this is one of those little things, just my pet peeve. We go home the other night. It's late. I understand she wants to get in the bed. And I look and I say, she's already told me she has homework. And She goes in there and she gets her book out. And after about 5 minutes, she closes it, comes in there and she kisses me and she's getting ready to go to bed. I said, did you finish your homework? Yep. Well, I won. Okay. So I go over and I said, you did finish your homework. She said, yeah, I finished my homework. I said, go get it. Let me see it. See, she done checked it off her list. She goes and gets it and no, there's about 2 out of 10 problems that's done. And I said, honey, where's your effort at? Why in the world would you give just a little bit of effort when for 10 more minutes you could have given all of your effort and done your best? Well, we had to have that discussion and man, it's took care of. We're not going to have this problem no more. Well, the next night rolls around. We go home. She's tired. She's got homework. And I said, honey, have you done your homework? She said, no. I said, well, don't you dare go in there and just do one or two problems. You go do them all. So in about 5 minutes, she comes back through the house. And before she even took off, I said, what kind of homework is it? She said, it's math. Math's my thing. I love it. I said, if you need any help, come see me. Any help at all, I'll be willing to help you. I'll do every problem with you. No, I got it. Well, in about 4 minutes, she comes back through. She's finished me, kissed me goodnight. She goes and gets in the bed. I go in there and I pull her homework out. I've never seen math problems that you didn't have to do any work on. You just circle A, B, C, or D, and that's it. She didn't skip any problems. She did do the complete assignment, but with absolutely no effort. And, you know, I gave her the whole, honey, I can't believe that, you know, you have the ability to do that. Because she went through and answered every one of the questions. In about 10 minutes, we had them all done. She had the ability to do it. She just didn't want to put the effort into doing it. And, man, I didn't chew her out, but me and her had some discussion over this. But then when I take the little lessons that I try to teach my children, and then I look and God takes me in there and I'm studying my Bible and he says, now, wait a minute. You just told your daughter that she has the ability. Why didn't she want to give the effort? And he says, Josh, I've given you some ability. I've given you health and I've given you strength. You can read my word. You talk to people. Why are you taking the ability that I've given you and just giving a little bit of effort? I think when I open my heart up and instead of me examining myself and I open up and say, God, you examine me, the results are a little different. See, when I done my checklist that my region manager sent me, my checklist was complete. I was ready. But today when they handed me their checklist, there's 7 or 8 things I got to go fix. And I got to get a little more documentation. I got to be a little more thorough. And I think sometimes when I examine myself and I say, yep, everything's good in my life, me and God's got it all worked out. I think if I'll open my heart and say, God, now you examine me. You talk to me. You show me. I think I can see places that I can grow closer to him, that I can give him more glory, and that I can allow him to use my life in ways that maybe I don't even think is possible. Sometimes when we sell ourselves short, we also cut ourselves out of some of the blessings that God wants to give us in our lives. So maybe over the next few days or whatever, instead of, I really like what Paul was writing to the Corinthians there to examine yourself, but let's open our hearts up to God and our lives up to God and say, God, you examine me. Let's see. You know my heart. You know my thoughts. God, if there's any improvements that need to be made, hey, it ain't always got to be, you got to stop this and you got to stop it. Maybe you need to start this or start that. There may be something that God's wanting you to do. Open your life and let God examine you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I thank you that as we read these verses of scripture, God, and as you spoke to my heart, God, I realize that sometimes I examine myself and I give it a big red check, God, and I really just need to open my life up and let you take a look. God, I need to open my whole life up. God, there's areas that I need to improve in. God, there's things I need to be doing in my life that I'm not. God, there's even things in my life that's maybe going on that I need to stop. God, I pray that you'll help me just to walk closer, to give you more glory with my life and to point others to the cross of Christ. God, I thank you for this church and God, what they mean to me. God, I pray for the ones that may have been here on Sunday morning that you were dealing with their heart and maybe they left still with a need. I pray that you'll give them another opportunity. God, I pray most of all for our lost loved ones and our lost family and our lost friends that you'll help them to see their need for a Savior before it's everlasting too late. We thank you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.